right.
What's up, folks? So thank you so much for stopping by today. So this is the first like 2018 or 2019 event for AFF this year. I'm taking over for Bob Dick. For those of you who are familiar with Bob's work, he's now up in New York doing a lot of good things up there for another nonprofit that's policy advocate. I forget what he's doing now. He's doing a lot of great stuff, though. It's the end of the story for that. But really what we want to do today is to have a fun conversation about public sector employees and how they can stand up essentially for their rights against their union bosses. So the Fairness Center is a nonprofit public interest law firm that helps those who've been hurt by public sector union officials. The firm is based in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, but works nationally. And as you'll hear tonight, the firm's active cases in Connecticut and Pennsylvania have been on the front lines of constitutional First Amendment challenges surrounding public employees. So Connor Dragotis, get your name up. Yes. I saw that name. I was like, I think I'll butcher his last name, but I got through it. He is the director of communications for the firm and provides clients with support in the court of public opinion. Prior to joining the Fairness Center, Connor managed state, local, and federal political campaigns and worked as a financial advisor helping at-risk populations get a financial education. He earned his MBA from Lehigh University and, as a native Mainer, spends his free time hunting, fishing, and hiking with his lovely fiance, Danielle. So, with that, Connor, thank you so much for stopping by today to talk about the Fairness Center and all your great work over there. So, folks, Connor Dragotis.
Thanks so much.
You got it.
Appreciate it. So first of all, good evening. I'm actually pretty happy it is sunny out as I was headed in. I plugged in the GPS and it said I would arrive here at about 7 o'clock. So I was pretty happy that things broke up. Big thanks to AFF and Brian for inviting me here tonight. Speaking frankly, it's very nice to speak to people who care about their communities. And it's really nice to see people taking the time to come out and just get together and talk about issues that matter to them. I think it's something that's very important. And this is obviously an issue that's near and dear to my heart in a community that I care a lot about. As Brian said, my name is Connor Dragotis, and I'm the Director of Communications and Outreach at the Fairness Center. And our job is to protect those who have been hurt by public sector union officials, which sounds exciting, right? I mean, it can mean a great many things. But before I talk about some of our cases and some of the stuff that we actually do. The one point that I want to make up front is that as a nonprofit public interest law firm, we represent every single client that comes to us 100% for free, which obviously lawyers can be very expensive. And when we're talking about public sector employees, we are 100% donor supported, which means that when someone comes to us and they say, I have a problem, can you help? If our attorneys decide to take the case, we can say, hey, yes, we can help. And yes, we can help for free, which is a real load off people's minds. As you can probably tell just by my demeanor, I am not an attorney. I get to smile a lot more than our attorneys. I get to travel around the state and I get to talk to folks like you about how we help people win. Yes, of course, help people win in the courts, but also to help people win in the court of public opinion, which is a little bit different, but we'll get into that a little bit, kind of what that means, right? And why it's important to some of our clients. And I think what I'd like to do is just talk about our clients specifically, because those are really the stories that matter here. And I want to start with a woman by the name of Ms. Jane Ladley. She's a school teacher in central Pennsylvania. And back a few years ago, she became a religious objector to membership in her union. And under Pennsylvania law at the time, she could actually do this. She could say, hey, I'm not going to provide money to the union directly on religious grounds, but what I can do is I still have to pay these fees. I can't just pay nothing. But what you could do is you could actually take that money and redirect it to a charity. So it seems like kind of a good compromise between the two. The union still is able to have that, and you're able to have the objection and put your money toward charity. So Jane is a very sweet woman, incredibly sweet woman, very smart person. And when she learned about this option, she sat down and she did her homework, right? How do I do this in a way that's going to be beneficial and in line with my beliefs? And she has, probably not surprisingly, she's always been a big believer in the Constitution. Right? Very important document. She's also very passionate about teaching civics to students in Pennsylvania. It's a really important cause to her. So she went out, did her research, and she actually found a charity that did exactly that. Their full-time job was to provide constitutional education to middle school and high school age kids across the Commonwealth. She fills out the paperwork, puts in all the lines, and she submits that to her union. And the union reviews it, and they come back and they say, flat out, no. We're not going to give your money to the charity of your choice. So that puts Jane in a little bit of a tough place, right? I mean, I'm sure some of you in your lives have had a moment where you really have a choice. You can go with the flow and take an easier path, or you can stand up for your rights. And it's not always easy to stand up for your rights, especially when you feel like you're very alone. Jane, of course, because we're talking about her, it probably makes sense. She is not one of those type of people who gives up very easily. She knew, A, that what was happening was wrong. B, she knew that it violated her constitutional rights. And third, she knew that she could win. And that's really why she ended up giving the Fairness Center a call, is she really needed the legal expertise to back up her grit and actually fight for her through this entire process. So that's what we did. Obviously, as it probably is not a surprise to most of you, but the court system runs slowly. It is not the most efficient part of our government. There's no doubt about that. But what we were able to do is we were able to get things moving. We were able to offer Jane support in the court system so that case could start moving along. And we were also able to give her support and represent her in the court of public opinion, so in the media. And hosting press conferences in Harrisburg, or helping her write letters to the editor and get them placed in papers across Pennsylvania. Some of her messages happened to be better for TV, so we actually got her interviewed by different reporters across the state. And the result was that she was getting letters of support from across the state, from people saying, hey, I understand what you're doing. I know why this is important. Thank you for taking this stand. And that's a really cool moment for her. Again, not just the court of law, but the court of public opinion. For some of these teachers who might feel very isolated in their place of work. They might be the only person in a whole bargaining unit that has this religious objection or has this problem with what's going on and wants to stand up and take a stand. And, you know, one of my favorite moments in all of my time at the Fairness Center was when we were able to get Jane all of her money back. And that's a really nice ending for a lawsuit, right? Not all lawsuits end this positively, but she actually got a check for every single penny, hundreds and hundreds of dollars that had been held in this account doing absolutely nothing for years. And that's just part of the thousands upon thousands of dollars that the union had held from other similar individuals across the state who had wanted their money to go to charity, but instead had also been told, no, we're not going to do that. So Jane is actually a really nice moment because she chose to take that check and actually donate it to the charity anyways. She didn't have to do that. She could have put it in her bank account, but she actually decided to give every single penny to that charity that it should have been going to the entire time. So we had a press conference and we brought in this organization and we were actually there, right? And as she gives this check that she had fought so hard for to this organization, she was so excited, right? It's a win. It feels good. And one of the key messages that you're going to hear as we talk about just a few cases tonight, we're just going to talk about three, is that when things go wrong, people need a support network, right? Just generally. I mean, every single person, when we're in this room together, that's why we get together, because we want to be around people who are experiencing the same thing, people who can help us, people who we can network with. It's really important, and that gets very difficult for public sector employees in particular, because what they're asking for when they come to us is representation against an organization that is supposed to be representing them, right? So they're trying to get good representation from their union, and instead these union leaders, in some cases, have chosen to abuse their power, and the people who need to find us oftentimes really need to do it quickly, because they realize they have a problem. That's part of this outreach effort and why we get out and we talk to people, because our goal is to speak to people a little bit earlier in that process, right? Let people know, hey, if you have a problem, there's an option out there that isn't going to break the bank. And a lot of those clients, when they find us in that moment of need, we got to move quick, right? We got to move very, very quickly because these issues have been percolating. They've been happening. And we don't just represent individuals. We'll actually represent groups of people. And some of those are some pretty lively groups. We actually represent 364 firefighters in the state of Connecticut up in New Haven. So we'll represent groups of people when they're in need. And in their case, if you're not too familiar with how unions are organized, a lot of times what you'll see is a local union, right? So a local organization, and that's actually the group of the people working. So a group of teachers in a district or firefighters in New Haven, Connecticut. And then there's a state organization, right? So a bunch of locals that are part of a state organization, and then state organizations and locals that are part of national or even international organizations. So kind of a very clear hierarchy. And in this case, the firefighters of Local 825 in Connecticut, they were not too happy with the representation that they were getting from the state organization. So they took a vote at the local level, and what they said is, hey, it's been great, but we took a vote, it was unanimous, and we are no longer going to be members of the state organization. We need to get our financial house in order. They had some debts they needed to pay off. They had some other things they needed to do. So they disaffiliated. The problem was 2 years later, after that vote had occurred, the state union was still refusing to acknowledge that the local union had disaffiliated. In fact, they were sending collections agents after them for about $50,000 in overdue dues, right? These fees that needed to be paid according to the state organization. And it was getting so bad. I mean, it was getting ugly. We had collections agents calling firefighters' parents, saying that they would be arrested if they did not have firefighters pay these dues to the state organization. I mean, these firefighters, pretty common sense, they should have been out fighting fires. And instead, they were stuck fighting state union bureaucrats. And that was a huge drain on their time, drain on their resources. And for guys that should focus on saving lives, they were focused on this threat hanging over their heads. This case is still ongoing up in New Haven, Connecticut. But we have had some positive developments. A judge recently ruled that the firefighters' disaffiliation was successful. They actually ruled in our favor, said, yes, absolutely. The vote that they took and their notification was proper, and that case is going on because while this is still unfolding, there's also been a lot of financial misappropriation found at the state level. So now there might actually be some money able to go back into these firefighters' pockets and into our communities instead of getting lost in the bureaucracy at the state level. So we're optimistic that this case will have a positive end because the core question was already answered. And heck, it was answered in our favor, which is a really great feeling, again, to work in the courts and have a judge look at you and say, absolutely, this problem is now solved. And it's weird because when I tell people that I work for a law firm, a lot of times you get some, you know, glazed over eyes and people think, man, that sounds terrifically boring in a lot of ways, right? A lot of paper pushing, a lot of dry arguments. And you know, for all the complicated, sometimes boring legal things that we handle, there can be a lot of excitement, and it can actually be a lot of fun. And I think one of the most enjoyable things about working at the Fairness Center is getting to share with people some of the stories of how our clients arrived in their particular situations. And I'll tell you just about this one more case that I think is pretty crazy. It's very interesting to me. How many of you in this room vote? Mostly, almost everyone, maybe some like half hands there. Okay, so how many of you receive annoying political mailers sent to your house, right? almost everyone, right, getting political mailers, right? And they always say the same thing, right? Please vote for so-and-so. This person's terrible. They have a lot of messages, but what you'll notice on them is that they all have a little bit of required language at the bottom that says who paid for the literature, right? So when you've seen that, you know, at the Fairness Center, we have a client. Her name is Ms. Mary Trometer. And most of us, she received a lot of mail during the campaign for governor in Pennsylvania in 2014. And one day, she's during election season, she went down to her mailbox. She found a letter addressed to her husband. And in that letter, it read, "Please join Mary in voting for Tom Wolf for governor on November 4th. Now, Mary, as you could probably guess, based on the way this story is going, she did a pretty hard double take when she looked at that, because there were two problems that were immediately apparent to her. First, she didn't plan on voting for Tom Wolf for governor. And so the information was false. And the second part that she noticed was that the mailer had been sent by her union, which, as you may or may not know, is an organization legally barred from directly supporting a candidate or a campaign. So Mary, a little bit of a firecracker, to be honest. She looked at that letter and she held it up and she ripped it right in two pieces and tossed it right in the trash. She just tossed it away. She was pretty upset to hear her describe it. And she started to walk away. And from what she's told me, as she was walking away, she had this thought in her mind. It was bugging her, right? She thought maybe she could do something. She kind of just wanted to make the world a little bit more free. She wanted to make a difference. She didn't feel that this was right, what had just happened and what she had experienced. And she guessed that there were a lot of other people out there experiencing the same thing who maybe wouldn't take that step. So she stopped and she turned right around and she went back to that trash can. She took the two pieces of paper out and she got the Scotch tape and she literally taped it. If you were to look at the documents that were submitted as evidence into court, there is a Scotch tape line running up the middle of this document that was supported. Because she made the decision that she was going to stand up for herself and for every Pennsylvanian who just flat out did not give permission for the union to take and use her name to promote a political message. She made a decision to stand up for her rights and for the rights of those who wanted to leave their union, and also for the rights of those who wanted to join a union. And really what she stood up for was, right, it's the decision to make that decision for yourself, right? That's a very important right, and that's what the Fairness Center is all about. Our attorneys, when she arrived at our office, were able to say, hey, yes, we can help. And also, yes, we can help you for free, which really made her day. She was already moving along this path, but to be able to hear that, you know, attorneys can be, what, $500 an hour sometimes? You know, you're looking at a very, very big expense, but she was going to go forward that fight. So it was a huge burden off of her. So we were able to say, hey, we're going to protect you in the courts. We're going to protect you in the court of public opinion. So whatever we can do to help, let's make this right. So as a matter of constitutional rights, employees should have the right to join and leave a union as best suits them. To allow an organization to take and co-opt your voice is wrong. And that's something that seems pretty cut and dry, but obviously because there are lawsuits, it is still an ongoing debate about what the role is of these types of organizations moving forward. I mean, even if you agree with every single thing that an organization says, you should be able to support that organization of your own free will. I mean, the example that I like to use is a grocery store, right? If your grocery store raise their prices by 50% and stop selling all the food that you like, you're going to go to another grocery store. And that's pretty cut and dry. If your union, however, raised its dues and refused to fight for the issues you believe in, current Pennsylvania law to this day forces you to accept their representation or lose your job. So public employees, they just don't have a choice in today's legal landscape. And when I say public employees, I want to be really clear about who I'm talking about as well, because that's a general term. What I'm talking about is our teachers, nurses, firefighters, police officers. I mean, when they accept these jobs, they're being forced into accepting representation that in many cases they neither want nor need. And they deserve better. And that's really what this is about. At the Fairness Center, we honestly believe that the law affords to all individuals the right to join a union. 100%. It is an intensely personal choice. But it is a choice. And as many of our clients would tell you, you should also be free to leave the union if it does not represent your belief or offer you the best quality of representation that you deserve. We help protect those who have been hurt by public sector union officials, and it's our job to be there when those issues arise, because this is about people at the end of the day. Even though we work in courts, these are real people, and these are real stories, and these are real lives and real families that are being affected. And it's about everybody's ability to do what is right for their family at the end of the day. So whether it's Ms. Ladley's desire to make sure her money goes to a place that will help teach about the Constitution, or the firefighters of New Haven who just wanted their right to disassociate recognized, we're here for all teachers, firefighters, all of our clients, and all public employees when we're needed. So I want to just wrap up by saying it is an absolute pleasure to work with the people that we get to work with and our clients, and get to see those good moments in their lives when things just go right, and to lift them up when things have gone very poorly. And it's a pleasure to help protect their constitutional rights. And being frankly, it's really nice to be around people who also care about these kind of issues, and get to interact with folks as well. So I really want to thank you for caring about the future of these people and caring about the future of this state and for putting the rights of people first. I want to thank you guys for having me here today to talk about this issue, which, as you can probably tell, I get very excited about and very happy about, and I'm very proud to share. And I'd love to answer any questions that you might have about us or any of our clients or this area of law in general. Yeah, so the Supreme Court case that he's referencing is Janus versus AFSCME, which came out in summer of 2018. And what that case ruled was that you do not have to pay the union as a condition of employment, meaning that you actually do not have to pay fees, or you don't have to pay the union at all if you don't want to. So previously, even if you were not a member of the union, a voting member, you still had to pay what was called fair share fees, which was about 85% of the normal fees. So either way, you were still paying the union. What this ruling said is you're not going to have to pay those if you're a non-member at all. So the result has been twofold. One is there are a lot of ongoing cases. When a Supreme Court decision comes down, unfortunately, it doesn't apply to all the states. So right now, there are still unconstitutional laws on the books in Pennsylvania, and we have clients who are still trying to get the Janus decision applied in this state. Moreover, I think the interesting legal question that's come out of it is an issue called maintenance of membership, which might be a new phrase to many of you, because it's a very niche area. But most union contracts, and this is allowed by law in the state of Pennsylvania, unions can put into their contract that you are only allowed to leave the union during one narrow 15-day escape window every 3 to 5 years. So it's the last 15 days of the contract. So if you're in a 3-year contract or a 5-year contract, You can only leave the union via certified letter, jump through a bunch of hoops during this narrow window. And a lot of times, whether, you know, maybe the union office is closed, maybe the certified letter gets sent back unopened, there are cases that are happening where people are trying to leave before that window and are being told, no, you have to wait until that 15-day window, or they're trying to get out during that 15-day window, something goes wrong, and then they're stuck, according to the letter of the law, for another 3 to 5 years paying or being part of an organization that they don't want or need in many cases. So that's obviously ongoing, but we have filed ourselves 7 cases in the state of Pennsylvania on that specific topic just since June of last year. I don't think we have any specific cases that I could point to or any data that we do. Because we're not a policy organization, a lot of the research, you know, even our attorneys look to other organizations to, you know, gather data or case precedent from other places. So in terms of the behaviors that a union would elicit out of employees, I'm not sure we have too much. But what I can say is that there are a lot of headlines and a lot of stories coming out right now with data about union membership, right? So a lot of people saying, hey, the unions are on the ropes, right? We won't have unions in 3 years because of this Janus decision. And then there are a lot of other articles coming out that saying, hey, this decision barely affected union members and unions, their structure at all. And I think the interesting thing from the Fairness Center point of view is we have had a serious uptick in legal inquiries as a result of this decision, and there are people who are actively trying to leave. So when those people have those questions, I think that it would be wise of us to look at those headlines and maybe take both of them with a grain of salt about what the future of unions look like. I think as our clients, one gentleman up in the Lehigh Valley, Francisco Molina, what he just recently spoke at an event in Harrisburg, and what he said was, this should have been a wake-up call for unions to offer the best service possible, right? This is just a way for them to gain more members and to also give the best service to encourage membership, right? It's about making that choice, and if there is a valuable product to be purchased by potential union members, they're going to flock to it in droves, and we would be very excited to see that as well. Again, our goal is just to give people that choice and make sure that their constitutional rights are being respected on both sides of that argument.
I have a question I got actually to follow up. So what would you say are the top issues right now in terms of being challenges for people to maybe realize their rights and actually act upon their rights and say, no, I don't want to be associated with this union by force? So what would be the biggest challenge that they're currently facing? What do you guys see in the Fairness Center as being more value to help?
Yeah. So there's a lot of different options being thrown around in Pennsylvania and also across the country about what the responsibility of the union or the employer or the government to actually notify people of their rights. And I think that's what you're getting at, right? Like, how do these people know that they have these, I'm going to say, new rights under Janus, right? That they can say, I'm not going to be a member of this union anymore. And that's an ongoing debate. So while that could be settled in legislatures across the state, the United States, rather, from our perspective, being able to let people know who we are and explain to them, what are your rights? We are going to continue to do that regardless of whether or not there's a mandatory piece of paper in an orientation packet or something. When we go out and we speak to groups and we speak to organizations across the state about what we do, one of the really important things is that everyone in this room now becomes a voice to have a little bit better understanding about what this legal landscape looks like. So when someone is saying, man, I'm experiencing this problem, everyone in this room will now know, you know, I actually have a guy for that. I can put you in contact with someone who can give you the information. And that's really what it's all about. When people come to us, there's a lot of times that people just want to be upset about what's going on. And what we want to be able to do is make sure that if they have a case, we're able to represent them at no cost, and that their rights where there are violations are taken care of as soon as possible. No,
I'm sorry.
I think the firefighter one is the only example of that right now. We do have a class action lawsuit currently pending that's called James v. SEIU. So that is a similar, obviously it's a group of individuals in a class action who may, you know, will challenge whether or not their rights were violated. But in terms of representing organizations like an actual, you know, this is Local 825, the 364 firefighters of New Haven, Connecticut, versus the UPFFA, the Uniform Professional Firefighters Association. That's the only case that we currently have of this kind, quite frankly, because it's quite rare for a union to be suing another union and for these issues to all of a sudden get to the point where you need to have a court involved instead of. What happens a lot of times is, you know, it's sorted out internally, and these organizational problems either escalate to the point where people leave their jobs or the issue just gets resolved and everyone moves on with their life. So a situation like this is quite rare, but that's not to say that there aren't more situations like that out there. And obviously, hopefully those folks can come to us or come to another organization that can help them. Because they're just as valid and they're just as important. Just because it's an organization doesn't mean that the individual constitutional rights of all of those people get to be overridden in the meantime.
I'll finish up, I guess. One last question. It's a little call to action. So obviously you guys are based here in Harrisburg, you serve in Connecticut and Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. I guess are your services throughout the entire United States, number one? And number two, if folks are in a situation themselves where they're trying to
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, right now our focus, so we are a state-based organization and currently we're working in Pennsylvania and Connecticut. That doesn't mean that we wouldn't be the right resource for people to reach out to and, you know, ask the question. Our attorneys, because I am not an attorney, I am in the wonderful position of not making the final call. I actually don't even know about these cases until they've actually been taken by our attorneys. So it's a fun position for me to then move forward. But I would encourage anybody who thinks they have a potential legal issue or has a friend who has a legal issue, please check out our website, www.fairnesscenter.org. That's the best place, not just for learning about our cases and our clients, but also to submit a legal inquiry and make sure that you're on the phone with an attorney as soon as possible who can answer your questions and protect your rights if needed.
Well, anybody have any questions? Not.
Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. So that's what we have planned for today. So again, thank you, Connor and Daniel. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it. So with that, guys, you're all free to do what have you in Center City, Philadelphia. But if you enjoy what we're doing here today at Beth, obviously please share that with your family and friends, getting people involved in our events. I'll be much more thoughtful to make sure I give a little bit more warning for the next time. Because it's kind of a little question, so appreciate you kind of for being able to come up and come out with this. So guys, thank you so much for joining us today. Definitely we'll be in touch soon. Shauna Weissman from our agency will be coming up next time. Talk about occupational licensing, and then I mentioned before we're going to be working with Maj Torrey to do Black Lives Matter at the end of the year. So it's going to be a lot of fun. But guys, thank you so much. There's some free things. We got little phone chargers for your car, pens, bags. Feel free to help yourselves on the way out. And if you didn't, please feel free to sign up to our list here so you can get all the up to date happenings for the AFF in Philadelphia. Thank you so much, guys, for coming out. Really appreciate it.